Saturday Night Theatre.
We present Helen Worth and Violet Carson in The Secret Garden by Frances Hodgson Burnett. The Secret Garden.
Mem Sahib, please.
Yes, what is it?
Officer's up to see the Mem Sahib.
Oh, for goodness sake, at this hour of the morning? Whoever is it? Did he give his name?
I'm to say you not know him, but he have message from Captain Sahib.
Oh, bother, has something happened? What's the time? Look, ask the Sahib to wait on the veranda. See that Mahmood takes out the drinks and apologize to the Sahib. Tell him I'll be with him in a few minutes.
Yes, Mem Sahib. I tell him.
What's the matter? Are you not well?
I'm just a little sick, Mem Sahib.
Oh, it's this awful heat. It makes me feel ill. Well, go along.
Saidi? Saidi, come and dress me. It's time for me to get up. Saidi?
Miss Baba called.
What have you come for? I don't want you. I want my Aya. She's late. Go and send her to me.
I cannot come.
Send her to me at once. At once, do you hear?
It is not possible for Aya to come to Miss Baba.
Go and get her when I tell you. Well, if she doesn't come, I shall simply go back to sleep. So there.
I'm so sorry to have kept you.
Don't mention it. Mrs. Lennox, good morning. My name is Charlesworth.
Oh, yes. You've just been posted to the regiment, haven't you? My husband told me. How do you do? I'm afraid we're rather late this morning. I had such a frightful night with this awful heat.
Yes, it is hot.
Do please sit down. Oh, you've got a drink. I'm so glad.
Oh, may I get you something, Mrs. Lennox?
Perhaps I will have some barley water. Surely we've met before. Lieutenant Charlesworth. Yes, similar last year.
Well, I've only been in India 3 months.
Oh, don't tell me you've come straight out from home.
Yes, I'm very new to it all.
Oh, you must tell me all about England. We've not been home since 1906. How I miss the London season. All one's friends and gorgeous parties. One's so cut off here.
I'm sure. Here we are, Mrs. Lux.
Oh, thank you. You have a message for me?
From Captain Lennox, to say he will be home tomorrow evening.
I'm expecting him.
He sent me on ahead to warn you, Mrs. Lennox. We've had a signal from the MO confirming that there is cholera here in the city. In the native quarter, of course.
Oh, dear. Is it bad?
Well, cholera, don't you know? Nearly everyone's gone to the hills already.
I know. I ought to have gone a week ago. I only stayed to go to that silly dinner party. I suppose it was foolish.
Captain Lennox asked me to say that you must leave tomorrow night as soon as he returns. And will you please have everything packed up in readiness?
Oh, what a beastly bore. Well, I'll tell the servants. I suppose you rode all the way here this morning. You must have started frightfully early.
Well, first light, don't you know?
You'll stay and have some breakfast, Lieutenant Charlesworth.
Oh, thanks awfully, but I have to make my number at the fort.
Oh, you needn't worry yet. There's no hurry. Oh, do stay. Whatever's that? What is it?
It means someone has died. You did not say it had broken out among your servants, Mrs. Lennox.
I did not know. Come with me. Come with me, Lieutenant Charlesworth.
There's not a soul left in the servants' quarters, sir.
I don't think there is in the bungalow either, Charlesworth, but we'd better look. Poor Lennox and that pretty, pretty woman. I suppose the child, too. I heard there was a child, though no one ever saw her. Charlesworth! There is a child here. A child alone.
Mercy on us, sir. Who is she?
I'm Mary Lennox. I fell asleep when everyone was ill.
Neither the captain nor Mrs. Lennox mentioned they had a daughter, sir. Even the other day when I called here.
So, you're Mary, eh, young miss? And what's this, eh? Wine?
I found it. I was thirsty. Why does no one come? I've called and called them. Why?
Poor little mite. There's nobody left to come.
Two lumps, wasn't it, Mrs. Pelly?
Pardon?
Yes, two. Two lumps indeed, Mrs. Crawford.
Oh, I think it is wicked. Really quite wicked, Mrs. Crawford.
Poor Colonel McGrew said he nearly jumped out of his skin when he opened that door, and there was the child, all alone. Oh. Those few servants who hadn't died had fled in terror.
The poor little mite. She knows she's lost both her parents.
Oh, yes. Not that she evinces much feeling. Of course, one's got to allow for the shock. As luck would have it, my husband was still at the fort, ministering to the needs of the sick and the dying. He said at once that we would have the Lennox child. He brought her up here with him.
How good of you both. Well, Mrs. Crawford, certainly I am going home quite soon. I want to see our two settled in at boarding school. Just when depends on our getting a berth. The P&O is so booked up nowadays. I could take Mary, I suppose.
Oh, it would be simply wonderful if you could, Mrs. Pelly. We'll keep her here with us until then, naturally. Though she doesn't get on too well with the children. Fortunately, your two are such angels, you wouldn't have anything like the same difficulty. Mm-hmm. The man who's going to act as her guardian, Mr. Archibald Craven, is the child's uncle. Very well off, I believe. He has a large place in Yorkshire.
Oh, I wouldn't want to have to take her up there.
Oh, no, no, no. They must collect her from you in London. We'll see to that. I'm expecting a letter from him any day now. Then I shall know more.
One wants to help, if one can. I'll talk to my husband about it, Mrs. Crawford.
Oh, if you would, I'd be so grateful.
I still cannot get over the fact that Mrs. Lennox never talked about her child.
If you ask me, she was one of those women who just aren't interested in children. She only concerned herself with dress and having a good time. Mary was left to the ire. When the ire was dead, there was no one to give a thought to the little thing.
A pity she's so plain. And her mother was such a pretty creature. She had a charming way with her, too. I know the men thought so.
I'm afraid that Mary has the most unattractive ways. Well, perhaps if her mother had carried her pretty face and pretty manners oftener into the nursery, Mary might have learnt some pretty ways, too. Well, one can only hope her uncle will bring out the best in her, or rather his servants, for they'll not stand to spoil the child as she's been spoilt out here. I believe he has quite a formidable housekeeper at Misselthwaite Manor, a Mrs. Medlock. She, it appears, rules the roost, for Mr. Craven spends far more time abroad. He lost his wife in an accident, or so my husband informs me.
I'm not one for repeating childish talk, as you know. But according to your young Basil, this Mr. Craven is somewhat deformed, not quite a hunchback, and yet...
Well, perhaps there is something in that, Mrs. Pelly, but, well, be that as it may, there's no one else to care for the child. Mm-hmm. I do hope you'll be successful in getting fixed up with the shipping line. Captain Lennox's regiment is paying all expenses, of course.
Of course. I shall be glad to see England and London again.
No, Mrs. Pelly. It was not convenient at all for me to come down to London just now. Not with my niece being married, you see. But it was Mr. Craven's wish. You must go and bring Miss Mary yourself, Mrs. Medlock, says he.
Oh, well, you'll be back home tonight, though.
Oh, yes.
Tell me, is it that Mrs. Lennox was Mr. Craven's sister?
Oh, no, no. It was Captain Lennox, as was Mrs. Craven's brother.
Oh.
A sweet, pretty thing she was. Yes, I've been housekeeper to Mr. Craven ever since she went. She and her brother gone now. Dear, dear me.
Look, Mary has been standing at that window all morning. She's fascinated by the London traffic.
Fair bewilders me. I came down for the good Queen's funeral and was fair swept off my feet then. Now it goes faster than ever. Where will it all end, Mrs. Perry?
Where indeed. Mary is all ready for you. The last 2 or 3 months have been most disturbing for her, as you can imagine. I fear it may take her a little time to settle down.
That's understood, ma'am. But my word, she's a plain little piece of goods. And we'd heard that her mother was a beauty. She hasn't handed much of it down.
Perhaps she will improve as she grows older. If she were not so sallow and had a nicer expression, her features are rather good. Children alter so much.
She'll have to alter a good deal. And there's nothing likely to improve children at Misselthwaite Manor, if you ask me. Come along then, child, we've got to get on the train. I don't suppose you've ever been on a train, have you?
Of course I have.
Oh, yes. She's been on a train in India, Mrs. Medlock.
Say goodbye to the lady, then. We've got a long journey ahead of us. I'd best put up the window. The rain's coming in. Oh, what weather. What is it, then? You lost your tongue?
No.
I suppose I might as well tell you something about where you're going to. Do you know anything about your uncle?
No.
Huh. Well, you're going to a queer place. Not but that it's a grand big place in a gloomy way. And Mr. Craven's proud of it in his way. And that's gloomy enough, too. The house is all of 600 years old, and there's near 100 rooms in it, though most of them shut up and locked. But there's pictures and fine old furniture and things that's been there for ages. And there's a big park round it, and gardens, and trees with branches trailing to the ground. Some of them. Well, what do you think of it?
Nothing. I know nothing about such places.
Hey, but you're like an old woman. Don't you care?
Doesn't matter whether I care or not.
You're right enough there, child. It doesn't. He's not going to trouble himself about you, that's sure and certain. He never troubles himself about no one. He's got a crooked back. That set him wrong. He was a sour young man and got no good of all his money and big place till he was married. He'd have walked the world over to get her a blade of grass she wanted. Nobody thought she'd marry him, but she did. People said she married him for his money, but that she never did. And when she died...
Oh? Did she die?
Oh, yes, she died. That made him fair hate the manor. Most of the time he goes away, and when he is at Misselthwaite, he shuts himself up in the West Wing. And you needn't expect to see him, because 10 to 1 you won't. You'll have to play about and look after yourself. Still, there's gardens enough. But when you're in the house, don't go wandering and poking about. Mr. Craven won't have it.
I shall not want to go poking about.
You'll be told what rooms you can go into and what rooms you should keep out of. My, but it's raining. Ugh.
Wait! Wait, station! Thou's got back then, Mrs. Medlock. I'll take thy trunk for thee.
I'm obliged, Mr. Hardcastle.
I see thou's brought younger with thee.
That's her. Take my hand, child.
The carriage is waiting outside for thee, Mrs. Medlock.
Well, I'm glad of that. It's no night for hanging about. How's the missus, then?
Oh, well enough, Mrs. Medlock. Aye, well enough.
Are we in Yorkshire?
Yes.
What is a moor?
Well, you won't see much because it's a dark night, but just you look out in a moment or two.
It's not the sea, is it?
No, not it. Nor it isn't fields nor mountains. It's just miles and miles of wild land that nothing grows on but heather and gorse and broom, and nothing lives on but wild ponies and sheep.
I feel as if it might be the sea. If there were water on it, it sounds like the sea just now.
Ah, that's the wind blowing through the bushes. It's a wild, dreary enough place to my mind. Well, there's plenty that likes it, particularly when the heather's in bloom.
I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
It's all 5 miles across Missel Moor before we get to the manor. We shall get a good cup of tea after a bit, at all events.
You're late arriving, Mrs. Medlock.
So would you be, Mr. Pitcher, if you'd come as far as I have. Well, here she is.
You're to take her to her room. He doesn't want to see her. He's going to London in the morning.
Very well, Mr. Pitcher. So long as I know what's expected of me, I can manage.
What's expected of you, Mrs. Medlock, is that you make sure that he's not disturbed and that he doesn't see what he doesn't wish to see.
Up to your room, then, child. You've 2 rooms upstairs where you live, and you must keep to them. Don't you forget that. I'll get you a bite to eat, then straight to bed. And I don't want to hear from you again until the morning.
What are you doing?
Oh, so that's where you're up, Hazza. I thought they'd sleep all day. Making a fire in the bedroom. That's what I'm doing. He's going to need it today, I reckon.
What is that?
That there, our window.
Yes.
That's Moor. Does they like it?
No. I hate it.
That's because they're not used to it. They thinks it's too big and bare now, because 'tis winter. But they like it by and by.
Do you?
Aye, that I do. I just love it. It's non-bare, but covered with growing things. Oh, it's fair lovely in spring and summer. Smells of honey. And there's such a lot of fresh air. And sky looks so high. And bees and skylarks, oh, they make such a nice noise, humming and singing. Eee, I wouldn't live away from Moor for anything.
You are a strange servant.
Eh, I know that. If there was a grand missus here, and I'd never have been one of the under-housemaids. I might have been let to be scullery maid, but I'd never have been let upstairs. Too common, and I talk too much Yorkshire.
What is your name?
Martha. But this is a funny house. Seems like there's neither master nor mistress except Mr. Pitcher and Mrs. Medlock. Mr. Craven's nearly always away. Mrs. Medlock gave me the place out of kindness. She told me she could never have done it if Misselthwaite had been like other grand houses.
Are you going to be my servant?
I'm Mrs. Medlock's servant, and she's Mr. Craven's. But I'm to do housemaid's work up here and wait on you a bit. But you'll not take much waiting on.
Who is going to dress me?
Can I ever dress this, then?
What do you mean? I don't understand your language.
Oh, there now. Mrs. Medlock told me I'd have to be careful. He wouldn't know what I was saying. I mean, can't you put on your own clothes?
No. I never did in my life. My ayah dressed me, of course.
Well, it's time I should learn. They cannot begin younger. It'll do thee good to wait on this hen a bit. My mother always said she couldn't see why grand people's children didn't turn out fair fools, what with nurses and being washed and dressed and took out to walk as if they was puppies.
It is different in India.
Yeah, I can see it's different. I dare say it's because there's such a lot of blacks there. When I heard you was coming from India, I thought you was a black too.
What? You thought I was a native? You... daughter of a pig!
Why, that's not the way for a young lady to talk. I've never seen a black. And I was fair pleased to think I was going to see one close. When I come in to light your fire this morning, I crept up to your bed and pulled the cover back careful to look at you. And there you was, no more black than me, for all that you see, Ella.
I can't help it. It's living in all that heat, but I'm not black. You know nothing about India. You know nothing about anything.
You mustn't cry like that there. Oh, you mustn't for sure. Oh, I you be vexed. Oh, I don't know anything about anything, just like you said. Oh, I beg your pardon, miss. Only do give over crying. It's bad for you. It's time for thee to get up now. Mrs. Medlock said I was to carry the breakfast and tea and dinner into a room next to this. It's been made into a nursery for thee. I'll help thee on with the clothes if thou get out of bed. If buttons are at back, they cannot button them up themselves, that's certain, sure.
Those are not my clothes. Mine are black.
Well, these are the ones thou mun put on.
They're nicer than mine.
Mr. Craven ordered Mrs. Medlock to get him in London. Says he, I won't have a child dressed in black wandering about like a lost soul. To make the place sadder than it is, put colour on her.
I hate black things.
Come now. No hands of thy own? That must help the sen a bit. My little brothers and sisters can all dress themselves. They has to. There's no one else to do it. Mother's much too busy. It's just a cottage on moor, you see. What? Cannot they put on their own shoes?
No. My ayah did it. It was the custom.
It were it? Fancy. Well, I never... This is the nursery.
Oh.
Doesn't they like it?
It's so gloomy. It's not like a child's room.
That's just because of old things. The house is full of them. Sit down at table and I'll get the breakfast. Ah, you should see all our children. There's 12 of us and my father only gets 16 shilling a week. They tumble about on moor and play there all day. Our Dickon has got a young pony he calls his own.
A pony? Where did he get it?
Found it on moor. He's a kind lad and animals knows it. Now, here's the porridge.
I don't want it.
That doesn't want the porridge?
No.
Silly, put a bit of treacle on it or a bit of sugar.
I don't want it.
I can't abide to see good victuals go to waste. If our children were at this table, they'd clean it bare in no time.
Why?
Why? Because they scarce ever has their stomachs full. They're as hungry as young hawks and foxes.
I don't know what it is to be hungry.
I can see that plain enough. Oh, I've no patience with folks as sits there and just stares at good bread and meat. My word, don't I wish Dickon and Phil and Jane and rest of them had what's here under their pinafores.
Well, why don't you take it to them?
Nay, 'tis not mine. And this isn't my day out. I get my day out once a month, same as rest. Well, if you're not taken with food, you'd best wrap up warm and run out and play. It'll do you good, and maybe give you some stomach for your meat.
Out? Why should I go out on a day like this?
'Tis only blowing. If they doesn't go out, they'll have to stay in. And what has they got to do?
Who will go with me?
You'll go by yourself. Our Dickon goes off on moor by hisself and plays for hours. Come over to winder. If they goes round that way, through gate in wall, they'll come to gardens.
It's all grey and dreary.
Aye, well, there's nothing blooming now. But just you wait. There's lots of flowers in summertime. Oh, there's Mrs. Medlock ringing for me. We must get you ready double quick, Miss Mary.
What is this place?
Willett Kitchen Gardens, young miss.
Are you the gardener?
Aye, one of them.
What's through that door in the wall?
Another kitchen garden. Happen there's another on t'other side at t'other wall, and the starch at t'other side of that.
Can I go in them?
Aye, if thou likes. But there's nowt to see this time of year.
I've been into the other gardens.
There were nothing to prevent thee.
They're all bare. And I went into the orchard.
No dog at door to bite thee.
Door? I didn't see any door into the other garden.
What garden?
The one on the other side of the wall. There were trees there. I saw the tops of them. A bird with a red breast was sitting on one of them, and he sang.
Bird with a red breast, you say? Oh, aye. Here he is. Weir Esther Vane, the cheeky little beggar. I've not seen thee before today. Has there begun the courting this early in season? that too forward.
Will he always come when you call him?
Aye, that he will. I've knowed him since he were a fledgling. Come out at nesting to the garden, and when he flew over at wall, he was too weak to fly back for a few days, so we got friendly. And when he went over at wall again, why, it rest at brew were gone. He was that lonely, he come back to me.
What kind of a bird is he?
Well, don't I know. He's a robin redbreast. And he's a conceited one, and curious. Bless me, he's always coming to see what I'm planting.
Where did the rest of the brood fly to?
There's no knowing. All scattered all over, but he were a knowing one, and he knew he were lonely.
I'm lonely.
Had that little wench from India?
Yes.
Oh, well, then no wonder that lonely. And I'll be lonelier before that's done.
What is your name?
Ben Weatherstaff. I'm lonely myself, except when he's with me. He's the only friend I've got.
I have no friends at all. I never had. My ayah didn't like me, so I never played with anyone.
Thee and me, lass, we were wove out at same cloth. We're neither on us good-looking, and both of us as sour as we look. We've got same nasty tempers, both of us, I'll warrant.
What did he do that for?
He's made up his mind to be friends with thee. Dang me if he hadn't took a fancy to thee.
To me? Would you make friends with me? Would you?
Why, I said that as nice and human as if thou was a real child instead of a sharp old woman. I said it almost like Dickon talks to his wild things on the moor.
Do you know Dickon?
Everybody knows him.
Oh, he's flown over the wall. He's going over the other wall and into the garden where there's no door.
Aye, on account of he lives there. He came out at egg there. If he's courting, he's macking up to some young madam of a robin that lives amongst old rose trees.
Rose trees? Are there rose trees?
There was 10 years ago.
I should like to see them. Can I get into that wall garden? There must be a door somewhere.
There was 10 years ago, but there isn't now. No more questions. Be off with you. I won't get on with me work.
Have you done? I've gotten well enough with the porridge this morning.
It tastes nice today.
Fresh air, Miss Mary. That's what's giving the stomach for the victuals. You go on playing out of doors every day and you'll get some flesh on your bones and you won't be so yellow.
I don't play. I have nothing to play with.
Nothing to play with. Our children plays with sticks and stones. They just runs about and shouts and looks at things. Get the coat on and off out, will you, till dinner time.
There's nothing to do. Oh, it's so dull. Not even Ben Weatherstaff to talk to. Oh, is it you? Where are you? On top of the wall? I see you, it is you. It's the robin. Oh, he's flown into the garden that hasn't got a door. He lives in there. How I wish I could see what it's like. Why hasn't he got a door? Why?
Thou'lt sleep well enough tonight, by the looks of thee. You best be getting to bed.
I'm not tired, Martha. Sit by the fire and talk a minute.
Are you beginning to think Misselthwaite's none so bad?
Yes. I talked to Ben Weatherstaff the other day.
That is?
He said one of the gardens with a wall round it hasn't a door.
He said that?
Yes, but he didn't say why. Why is there no door?
Mr. Craven had it shut. He won't let no one go inside. He locked door and dug hole and buried key 10 years ago.
Why did he hate it so?
Oh, the wind must have blown the cobwebs out of thy brain, that's so sharp all of a sudden. My Mrs. Medlock said it's not to be talked about. There's lots of things in this place not to be talked over. That's Mr. Craven's orders. Putfoot Garden, he wouldn't be like he is. It was Mrs. Craven's garden that she had made when first they were married. Oh, and she just loved it. They used to tend the flowers there themselves, and none at gardeners was ever let to go in. Him and her used to go in and shut door and sit there hour upon hour reading and talking. And she was just a bit of a girl, and there was an old tree with a branch bent like a seat on it, and she made roses grow over it, and she used to sit there. But one day when she was sitting there, branch broke, and she fell on ground and was hurt so bad that next day she died. And doctors thought he'd go out of his mind and die too. So that's why he hates it. No one's never gone in since, and he won't let anyone talk about it.
Oh, is that why there are leaves growing all over the wall?
The ivy, you mean? Aye, no one goes near now.
Is that someone crying?
'Tis the wind. Sometimes it sounds as if someone was lost on moor and wailing. It's got all sorts of sounds.
But listen, it's in the house down one of those long corridors.
Oh, drat the wind!
There! I told you so, it is someone crying!
It was the wind, like I said. Didn't it just blow door open? And if it wasn't, it was little Betty Butterworth, the scullery maid. She's had toothache all day. Now, off to bed with you.
Rain, Martha. I cannot even see the moor.
Aye, there can be no going out for thee today.
What shall I do? What do you do in your cottage when it rains like this?
Try to keep from under each other's feet, mostly. Dick, you know, he goes out just the same. He says he sees things as doesn't show when it's fine weather. He once found a little fox cub half drowned in its hole, and he brought it home. He's got it at home now.
If I had a fox cub, I could play with it, but I have nothing.
Can thou knit?
No.
Can thou sew?
No.
Can thou read?
Yes.
Then why doesn't thou read something? Or learn a bit of spelling? Thou'st old enough to be learning the book a good bit now.
I haven't any books. Those I had were left in India.
Oh, that's a pity. If Mrs. Medlock had let thee go into the library, there's thousands of books there. Thou'd best ask her when next she comes to see you. I must get on with my work below, but I'll be back dinner time.
I'm not going to ask Mrs. Medlock. She never bothers about me. I'll find it for myself if I want to. I'd like to look in all those rooms. They're not all locked, perhaps. I could count the doors. 100, she said. It would be something to do. See how many there are. Twenty-five, 26. How still everything is. People must have lived in all these rooms once. Perhaps the people in the pictures. What a lot there are. There's a little girl. What's your name? I wish you were here. She stares at me so. She makes me feel queer. What's that? It's that crying again. I'll be much, much nearer. Behind this door, I think.
What are you doing here? What did I tell you?
I heard someone crying.
You didn't hear anything of the sort. Now you stay where you're told to stay or you'll find yourself locked up. Come along, back to your own nursery. The master had better get you a governess the same as he said he would.
I don't want a governess.
You're one that needs someone to look sharp after you, and I've got enough to do.
Mother, look at the moor. It's all blue, and so is the sky. I've never seen such a bright blue sky.
Aye, storm's over for a bit. It does that at this time of year. Goes off in a night like it was pretending it had never been here and never meant to come again. That's because springtime's on its way.
I thought perhaps it always rained and looked dark in England.
Hey, no, lass, now don't sew it.
What does that mean?
Oh, there now. I taught broad Yorkshire again, just like Mrs. Medlock said I mustn't. Nowt at Thwart means nothing of the sort.
Oh.
Yorkshire's the sunniest place on earth when it is sunny. You'll want to be out on moor all day, just as Dickon does.
I like Dickon, yet I've never seen him.
Well, I've told thee that the very birds and animals like him. I wonder what Dickon would think of thee.
He wouldn't like me. No one does.
Well, how does thou like this hen?
Not at all, really. I never thought of that before.
Well, leastways, that can play out in garden today. Put on that things.
Well, if it isn't little wench. Springtime's coming. Cannot thou smell it?
I smell something nice and fresh and damp.
Aye, that's good rich earth, making ready to grow things. In flower gardens now, things'll be stirring down below in dark. You'll see bits of green spikes sticking out after a bit.
What will they be?
Crocuses and snowdrops and daffy-down-dillies. Hast thou never seen them?
Well, I don't think we had them in India.
Oh, you watch out for them.
I'm going too. It's the robin! Do you think he remembers me?
Remembers me? Why, he knows every cabbage stump in gardens, let alone people. He's never seen a little wench here afore, so he's bent on finding out all about thee. There's no need to try to hide anything from him.
Mr. Weatherstaff, are things stirring down below in the dark in that garden where he lives?
What garden?
The one where the old rose trees are. Are all the flowers dead, or do some of them come again in the summer? Are there ever any roses?
Ask him. He's the only one as knows. No one else has been inside it for 10 years.
Do you remember me? I believe you do. You're prettier than anything else in the world. Oh, don't fly away. I can still see you. I see you in the tree in the garden. There's the wall under the ivy. Oh, it's silly to be so near and not be able to get in, isn't it, pretty robin? Oh, so you've flown down. Have you come to talk to me? No, you've come to look for a worm. Did you dig that big hole? Dog must have done that. Yes, there's his bone. Oh, it's not a bone. It's a key. It's a big rusty key. Perhaps it's been buried for 10 years. Perhaps it's the key to the garden. But there still isn't a door. Is there, pretty robin? Morning, Ben Weatherstaff.
Hey, that liked robin. I never know when I shall see thee or which side I'll come from.
He's friends with me now.
That's like him, mucking up to women folk just for vanity and flightiness. How long has thou been here?
I think it's about a month.
Well, thou's beginning to do Misselthwaite credit. Thou's a bit fatter than thou was, and thou's not quite so yellow. Hey, thou look like a young plucked crow when thou first come into this garden.
I know I'm fatter. My stockings are getting tighter. They used to make wrinkles. Have you a garden of your own?
No, I'm a bachelor. I lodge with Martin at Gate.
If you had one, what would you plant?
Cabbages and potatoes and onions.
Oh, but if you wanted to make a flower garden, what would you plant?
Oh, bulbs and sweet-smelling things. But mostly roses.
Do you like roses?
I do. I was learned that by a young lady I was gardener to. She had a lot in a place she were fond of, and she loved them like they were children, or robins. I've seen her bend over and kiss them. Aye, that were as much as 10 years ago.
Where is she now?
Heaven, according to what Parson says.
What happened to the roses?
They were left to themselves.
Did they quite die? Do roses quite die when they're left to themselves?
Well, I'd got to like them, and I liked her, and she liked them, so once or twice a year I'd go and work at them a bit. You know, prune them and dig about roots. They run wild, but they were in rich soil, so some of them lived.
When they have no leaves and look grey and brown and dry, how can you tell whether they are dead or alive?
Wait till spring gets at them. Wait till sun shines on rain and rain falls on sunshine, and then they'll find out like as not.
How? How?
Well, look along twigs and branches, and if thou sees a bit of a brown lump swelling here and there, watch it out at warm rain, aye, and see what happens.
Do you go and see those other roses now, Mr. Weatherstaff?
Not been this year. My rheumatics has made me too stiff at joints. Now, look here, don't thou ask so many questions. That worst wench for asking questions I've ever come across. I've done talking for today.
Oh, he is cross, but I like him. I know. I'll run to the wood and see if there are any ra... Who are you?
I'm Dickon. I know that, Miss Mary.
Did you get Martha's letter?
Aye. That's why I come. I've got garden tools, as you asked for. Here's a little spade and a rake and a fork and a hoe. Hey, they are good uns, aren't seeds?
Will you show the seeds to me? Let's sit down on this log and look at them.
There's a lot of mignonette and poppies. Mignonette's the sweetest smelling thing as grows. And it'll grow wherever you cast it. Same as poppies will. Where's that robin as he's calling us?
Is he really calling us?
He's calling someone he's friends with. Aye, there is it, Bush. Whose is he?
He's Ben Weatherstaff's, but I think he knows me a little.
Aye, he's a friend of yours, right enough.
Do you think he is? Do you think he really likes me?
See, he's making up to the now. Cannot that see a chap he's saying?
Do you understand everything birds say?
I think I do. And what's more, they think I do. I've lived on more with them so long. Sometime I think perhaps I'm a bird or a fox or a rabbit or a squirrel. Or even a beetle. Shall I plant seeds for thee, Miss Mary? Where is the garden? Tha's got a bit of garden, ain't there?
Could you keep a secret if I told you one? It's a great secret. I don't know what I should do if anyone found out. I believe I should die.
Aye, I can keep secrets.
I've stolen a garden. It isn't mine. It isn't anybody's. Nobody wants it. Nobody cares for it. Nobody ever goes into it. Perhaps everything is dead in it already. I don't know. They're letting it die. All shut in by itself.
Hey.
I found it myself. And I got into it myself.
Where is it?
Come with me. The robin will show you. We'll both show you. It's a secret garden, and I'm the only one in the whole world who wants it to be alive.
Hey, but it's a queer, pretty place. It's like as if her body were in a dream. I never thought I'd see this place.
Did you know about it?
You must talk long. Some will hear us and wonder what's to do in here.
Oh, I forgot. Did you know about the garden?
Martha told me there was one as no one ever went inside. Us used to wonder what it were like. Hey, the nest that'll be here come springtime. No one ever come in here. And tangles of roses to build in.
Will there be roses? Can you tell me? I thought perhaps they were all dead.
Hey, no. Not them. Not all of them. Look here. There's a lot of dead wood and old wood as ought to be cut out. But this here's a new bit.
That one? Is that one quite alive?
It's as wick as you and me.
I'm glad it's wick. I want them all to be wick.
They've run wild. But the strongest has fair thrived on it. See here. A body might think this was dead wood. But I don't believe it is down to root. I'll cut it low and see. There. I told thee so. There's green in that wood yet. Look at it. There'll be a fountain of roses here come summer. But there's a lot of work to do.
Will you come again and help me to do it?
I'll come every day if thou wants me. Rain or shine. It's best fun I ever had in my life. Shutting here and wakening up a garden.
If you will come. If you will really help me to make it alive. I don't know what I'll do.
I'll tell thee what thou'll do. Thou'll get fat. And thou'll get hungry as a young fox. And thou'll learn how to talk to Robin same as I do. Hey, we'll have a lot of fun.
Dickon, you're as nice as Martha said you were. I never thought I should like four people.
Only four folks as the likes. Who's t'other three?
Martha and the Robin and Ben Weatherstaff.
I know thou thinks I'm a rum lad, but I think that the rummest little lass I ever saw.
Does thou like me?
Hey, that I does. I likes thee wonderful, and so does Robin, I do believe.
That's two, then. That's two for me.
That's a bit late for the dinner. Where has thou been?
I've seen Dickon! I've seen Dickon!
I knew he'd come. How does thou like him?
I think he's beautiful.
Well, he's the best lad as was ever born. But us never thought he was handsome. His nose turns up too much. Here, how did they like the seeds and garden tools?
How did you know he brought them?
He never thought of his not bringing them. He's a trusty lad. Who did they ask about giving a bit of garden?
Oh, I haven't asked anybody yet.
Well, I wouldn't ask the head gardener. He's too grand, is Mr. Roach. If I was you, I'd ask Ben Weatherstaff. Mr. Craven lets him do what he likes, because he was here when Mrs. Craven was alive, and he used to make her laugh. She liked him. Perhaps he'd find you a corner, somewhere out at Way. Oh, I've got something to tell you. Mr. Craven came back this morning, and I think he wants to see you.
Oh? Why? He didn't want to see me when I came. I heard Pitcher say he didn't.
Well, something has put him in mind to see thee before he goes away again tomorrow.
Is he going away tomorrow? I'm so glad.
He's going for a long time. He mayn't come back till autumn or winter. He's going to travel in foreign places. He's always doing it.
When do you think he'll want to
Mrs. see Medlock will be coming for you, so you'd best brush your hair and slip on your best dress as soon as you've had your dinner.
Come in.
This is Miss Mary, sir.
You may leave her here with me, Mrs. Medlock. I will ring for you when I want you to take her away.
Thank you, sir.
Come here. Are you well?
Yes.
Do they take good care of you?
Yes.
You are very thin.
I'm getting fatter.
I forgot you. I intended to send you a governess or nurse or something of that sort, but I forgot.
Please.
What do you want to say?
I'm too big for a nurse. Please don't make me have a governess. Not yet.
What do you want to do?
I want to play out of doors. It makes me hungry here. I am getting fatter.
Oh, perhaps it would do you good. Perhaps you'd better get stronger before you have a governess.
It makes me feel strong when I play and the wind comes over the moor.
Where do you play, child?
Everywhere. I skip and run and I look about to see if things are beginning to stick up out of the earth. I don't do any harm.
Don't look so frightened. You could not do any harm, a child like you. You may do what you like.
May I?
Of course you may. I'm your guardian, though I'm a poor one for any child. I cannot give you any time or attention. I'm too ill and distracted. But I wish you to be happy and comfortable. I don't know anything about children, but Mrs. Medlock is to see that you have all you need. Play out of doors as much as you like. It's a big place, so you may go where you like and amuse yourself as you like. Is there anything you want? Toys, books, dolls.
Might I have a bit of earth?
Earth? What do you mean?
To plant seeds in, to make things grow, to see them come alive.
Do you care about gardens so much?
I didn't know about them in India. I was always ill and tired and, oh, it was hot. I sometimes made little beds in the sand and stuck flowers in them, but here, different.
A bit of earth. You can have as much earth as you want. You remind me of someone else who loved the earth and things that grow. When you see a bit of earth you want, take it, child, and make it come alive.
May I take it from anywhere? If it's not wanted.
Anywhere. There. You must go now. I'm tired. Goodbye. I shall be away all summer. Mrs. Medlock, now I have seen the child, I have decided that she must be less delicate before she begins lessons. Give her simple, healthy food. Let her run wild in the garden. Don't look after her too much. She needs liberty and fresh air and romping about.
Yes, sir. Thanks, sir.
Take Miss Mary away now and send Pitcher to me.
Very good, Mr. Craven.
Martha! Martha, he's really a nice man. Oh, his face is so miserable and his forehead is all drawn together.
Aye, poor gentleman. I'm glad as they liked him.
He's not a real hunchback, is he?
Not exactly, no. Just crooked-like.
Yes, that's it. And I can have my garden. I may have it where I like. Tomorrow I'm going to spend all day...
But now thou must get to bed. It is past time.
Oh, bother, Ben. I don't want to go to sleep. I want it to be tomorrow, now.
Well, close thy eyes quick until soon be morning. Haste thee. I'm going to blow out candle.
Good night, Martha.
Sleep fast.
Good night. Oh, thunderstorm. If it doesn't stop, I shan't be able to go out tomorrow. The rain's come because it knew I didn't want it. Ooh. It's terribly dark. Must be the middle of the night. Oh, I hate the wind. It's like a person lost on the moor and wandering on and on. It isn't the wind now. That isn't the wind. It's that crying. If I can find my way back to the door where I heard it before, I shall need the candle. Where is it? That's better. Much better. It's getting much nearer. Is this the right corner to turn? Yes. Up the stairs. Round? It's the door. And there's a light under it. I'm going to open it.
Who are you? Are you a ghost?
No, I'm not. Are you one?
No, I'm Colin.
Who's Colin?
I'm Colin Craven. Who are you?
I'm Mary Lennox. Mr. Craven is my uncle.
He's my father.
Your father? No one ever told me he had a boy. Why didn't they?
Come here. You are real, aren't you? I have such real dreams very often. You might be one of them.
Rub my woolen dressing gown and see how thick and warm it is. There. I'll pinch you if you like to show you how real I am. For a minute, I thought you might be a dream too.
Where did you come from?
From my own room. I heard someone crying and wanted to find out who it was. What were you crying for?
Because I couldn't go to sleep with the sound of the storm, and my head ached. Tell me your name again.
Mary Lennox. Did no one ever tell you I'd come to live here?
No, they didn't.
Why?
Because I should have been afraid you would see me. I won't let people see me and talk me over.
Why?
Because I'm like this always, ill and having to lie down. If I live, I may be a hunchback. But I shan't live. My father hates to think I may be like him.
Oh, really, this place? Everything's a kind of secret. Gardens are locked up and you... Have you been locked up too?
No, I stay in this room because I don't want to be moved out of it. It tires me too much.
But your father, he comes to see you.
Sometimes. Generally when I'm asleep, he doesn't want to see me.
Why ever not?
Because my mother died when I was born, and it makes him wretched to look at me. He thinks I don't know, but I've heard people talking. He almost hates me.
He hates that garden because she died.
What garden?
Oh, just a garden she used to like. Have you always been here?
Nearly always. Sometimes I've been taken to places at the seaside, but I won't stay because people stare at me.
If you don't like people to see you, do you want me to go away?
No, I want to hear about you. How old are you?
I'm 10, and so are you.
How do you know that?
Because when you were born, the garden door was locked, and the key was buried, and it's been locked for 10 years.
What garden door was locked?
Oh, it was the garden Mr. Craven hates. He locked the door. No one knew where he buried the key.
Have you ever asked the gardeners?
They won't talk about it. I think they've been told not to answer questions.
I would make them.
Could you?
Everyone is obliged to please me, and if I were to live, this place would sometime belong to me.
Why ever do you think you won't live?
I don't suppose I shall. Ever since I can remember, I've heard people say I shan't. At first they thought I was too little to understand, and now they think I don't hear, but I do. My doctor is my father's cousin. He's quite poor, and if I die, he will have all Misselthwaite when my father is dead. I shouldn't think he'd want me to live.
Do you want to live?
No, but I don't want to die. When I feel ill, I lie here and think about it until I cry and cry.
I've heard you crying 3 times, but I didn't know who it was. Were you crying about that?
I dare say. Let's talk about something else. Talk about the garden. Don't you want to see it?
Yes.
I do. I don't think I ever really wanted to see anything before. But I want to see that garden. I want the key dug up. I want the door unlocked. I would let them take me there in my chair. I'll let you go too.
Oh, don't. No, don't do that.
Why? You said you wanted to see it.
I do, but if you make them open the door and take you in like that, it'll never be a secret again.
A secret? What do you mean?
You see, if no one knows but ourselves, if there was a door hidden somewhere under the ivy, if there was, and we could find it, and if we could slip through it together and no one knew, and we called it our garden, and if we dug and planted seeds and made it all come alive...
Is it dead?
It soon will be if no one cares for it. If the garden was a secret and we could get into it, we could watch the things grow bigger every day and see how many roses are alive. Don't you see how much nicer it will be if it remains a secret?
I never had a secret, except that one about not living to grow up. But I like this kind better.
If you won't make them take you to the garden, perhaps I feel almost sure I can find out how to get in sometime, and then perhaps we might find some boy who would push you in that chair you mentioned, and we could go alone, and then, why, then it would always be a secret garden.
I should like that. I shouldn't mind fresh air in a secret garden.
Oh, what would Mrs. Medlock do if she found out that I'd been here?
She would do as I told her, and I should tell her that I wanted you to come here and talk to me every day.
I will come as often as I can, but, well, I shall have to look every day for the door to that secret garden.
Yes, you must, and you can tell me about it afterwards. Do you know Martha?
Yes, she waits on me.
She's the one who is asleep in the next room. Martha shall tell you when to come here.
Martha knew about you all the time?
Of course. She often attends to me. The nurse likes to get away from me, and then Martha comes.
Shall I go away now? Your eyes look sleepy.
I wish I could go to sleep before you leave me.
Shut your eyes, and I will do what my ayah used to do in India. I will pat your hand and sing something I learnt in India.
I should like that, perhaps.
Mi, re, se, a, ja, re, a, ki, o, no,
that is nice.
Nin, the, a, ja, re, a, ja. Mi, re, se, a, ja.
Come in, Mary. I've been thinking about you all the morning.
I've been thinking about you, too. You don't know how frightened Martha is. She says Mrs. Medlock will think she told me about you, and then she'll be sent away.
Go and tell her to come here.
Martha! Master Craven wants you!
Yes, sir.
Have you to do what I please, or have you not?
I have to do what you please, sir.
Has Medlock got to do what I please?
Oh, everybody has, sir.
Well, then, if I order you to bring Miss Mary to me, how can Medlock send you away if she finds out?
Oh, please don't let her, sir.
I'll send her away if she dares to say a word about such a thing. She wouldn't like that.
Oh, thank you, sir. I want to do my duty, sir.
What I want is your duty. I'll take care of you. Now go away.
Oh, yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Why do you look at me like that, Mary?
I was thinking how different you are from Dickon.
Who's Dickon?
He is Martha's brother. He's not like anyone else in the world. He knows all about eggs and nests, and he knows where foxes and badgers and otters lives. He says it's because he lives on the moor.
Does he like the moor? How can he? It's such a dreary place.
It's the most beautiful place. Thousands of lovely things grow on it, and thousands of little creatures live there.
How do you know? Have you been there?
Well, once I drove over it in the dark. But when Dickon talks about it, you feel as if you were standing in the heather with the sun shining and the gorse smelling like honey and all full of bees and butterflies.
You never see anything if you're ill.
You can't if you stay in a room.
I couldn't go on the moor.
You might, sometime. You said you wanted to see the garden.
That's different.
Do you think you would mind if Dickon looked at you?
Why?
Because if you didn't, I might be able to get him to push your chair when we go, so that we can keep it a secret.
I might not mind. I don't know.
Oh, is that Mrs. Medlock coming?
I expect so. My doctor's coming to see me this afternoon. No, you're not to go.
My goodness gracious!
What is this child doing here?
Oh, sir!
What is the meaning of this?
This is my cousin, Mary Lennox. I've asked her to come and talk to me. I like her, and she is to come and talk to me whenever I send for her.
Mrs. Medlock.
Oh, sir, I don't know how it's happened. There's not a servant on the place that'd dare to talk. They all have their orders.
Nobody told her anything. She heard me crying and found me herself. Now, don't be silly, Medlock.
I'm afraid there's been too much excitement. Excitement is not good for you, my boy.
I should be excited if she kept away. She makes me better. The nurse is to bring her tea with mine. We'll have tea together.
He does look rather better, sir.
Well, you must not talk too much. You mustn't forget that you are ill and are very easily tired.
I want to forget it, and that's why I want her. And I want my tea now. Tell Nurse Medlock.
Sir?
I'd better have a word with Nurse, I think, Mrs. Medlock.
Very well, Doctor. I'm very sorry, Doctor. I still don't understand how this...
Dickon, how could you get here so early? Almost before the stable, lads. The sun's only just got up.
Hey, I were up one before him. How could I stay to bed? The wall's fair begun again this morning. So it has.
I know. It's all different already. The grass is greener and there's such a humming and such scents.
The moor's gone mad for joy, I can tell thee. And see how those crocuses have pushed up and though...
Oh, Dickon, I'm so happy I can scarcely breathe.
Aye. But we must talk quiet-like.
Yes, I forgot. Dickon, there's something I want to tell you. Do you know about Colin?
What does Tha know about him?
I've seen him. I've been to talk to him every day this week. He wants me to come. He says I'm making him forget about being ill.
I'm glad of that. It makes me easier. I knowed I must say nothing about him.
How did you know about Colin?
Everybody has knowed about Master Craven. Know they're a little lad, as was like to be a cripple. And they knowed Master Craven didn't want him to be talked about. Aye, when we first got in here, it seemed like everything were grey. Look round now. And tell me what that sees.
It's as if a green mist were creeping over it.
And it'll get greener till grey's all gone. Hey, can I guess what I'm thinking?
Was it about Colin?
I were thinking that if he were out here, he'd likely be healthier. I were wondering if us could get him to come out here and lie under trees in his wheelchair.
Oh, Dickon, I've been wondering that myself. I've thought it almost every time I've talked to him.
Oh, you've come at last, have you, Miss Mary?
Has Master Colin been asking for me, Nurse?
Oh, he's only been watching the clock all morning. I thought we should have one of his tantrums.
He knew I was going to be busy in the garden.
I know. Go on in to him quickly, child.
Oh, are you still in bed, Colin?
I did get up this morning when I thought you were coming. Then I made them put me back to bed again this afternoon. My back ached and my head ached and I was tired. Why didn't you come?
I was working the garden with Dickon.
I won't let that boy come here if you go and stay with him instead of coming to talk to me.
If you send Dickon away, I'll never come into this room again.
You'll have to if I want you.
I won't!
I'll make you. They shall drag you in.
Shall they? They can't make me talk when they get me here. I'll sit and clench my teeth. I won't even look at you.
You're a selfish thing.
You're more selfish than I am. You're the most selfish boy I ever saw.
I'm not as selfish as your fine Dickon. He keeps you playing in the dirt and he knows I'm all by myself. He's selfish, if you like.
He's nicer than any boy that ever lived.
A common cottage boy off the moor.
He's better than you. He's 1,000 times better.
It's just because I'm always ill. I'm sure there's a lump coming up on my back. Ooh. And I'm going to die besides.
Oh, you just say that to make people sorry. I believe you're proud of it. I don't believe it. If you were a nice boy, it might be true, but you're too nasty.
Get out of the room!
I'm going, and I won't come back. I was going to tell you all sorts of nice things. Now I won't tell you anything.
Well, well.
What are you laughing at, Nurse?
At you two young'uns. The best thing that could happen to the sickly, pampered thing is to have someone stand up to him that's as spoiled as himself. If he'd had a young vixen of a sister to fight with, it might have been the saving of him.
Is he going to die, Nurse?
All I do know, Miss Mary, is that hysterics and temper are half what ails him.
What are hysterics?
Oh, you'll find out if you work him into a tantrum after this. At any rate, you've given him something to have hysterics about, and I'm glad of it.
Here is Mr. Roach, Master Colin.
Oh, you're the head gardener, Roach.
Sir.
I sent for you to give you some very important orders.
Very good, sir.
I'm going out in my chair this afternoon. I may go out every day. And when I go, none of the gardeners are to be anywhere near the garden walls. I shall go out at about 2 o'clock, and everyone must be kept away until I send word that they may go back to their work.
Very good, sir.
Mary, well, what's that thing you say in India when you want people to go?
You have my permission to go.
You have my permission to go, Roach. Mm. But remember, this is very important.
Very good, sir. Thank you, sir.
Medlock, I want that strong footman to carry me downstairs, but he's not to stay. Dickon will push the chair.
Does the doctor know?
Yes, Mrs. Medlock. He thinks the boy is to be trusted. The doctor will look in later to see how it's agreed with him. I don't suppose he'll come to any harm.
We go round the fountain here, Dickon.
I'll have to tip the chair a bit, Master Colin.
I do hope no one's watching us. We're nearly there.
It's safe. They wouldn't dare. There's so many sounds. Singing and humming.
Because it's springtime.
What's that lovely smell?
It's Gorse Aunt Moore that's opening out. Hey, the bees are at it wonderful today.
This is the long walk, Colin.
It is. I can see nothing. There is no door.
That's what I thought. That's the garden where Ben Weatherstaff works.
Is it?
And that's where the robin flew over the wall.
Oh, I wish he'd come again.
Just there's where he perched on the little heap of earth and showed me the key.
Where? There?
And this is the ivy the wind blew back.
I see it now. A door.
Push him in, Dickon. Push him in quickly.
Oh, I'm in it. I'm really in it. It's just as you said it would be, Mary. All tangled. And real daffodils. And look at the blossom. I've never really seen the springtime. It says in one of my books, it's like golden trumpets.
That's just what it feels like.
Hey, it is gradely. Seems to me like I've never seen an afternoon as gradely as this here.
Yes, I'll warrant 'tis the gradeliest one as ever was in this world.
Mm. And does that thing as happened it was made like this for me?
My word! That there is a bit of good Yorkshire. That shaping first rate, that.
Shh! We must be quiet in case someone hears us.
I wonder if we shall see the robin.
They'll see him flying backward and forward at nest.
That's a very old tree over there, isn't it? The branches are quite grey. There's not a single leaf anywhere. It's quite dead, isn't it?
Aye. But when them roses climbed all over it are full of leaves and flowers, likely it'll be prettiest of all.
It looks as if a big branch has broken off. I wonder how it was done.
It's been done many a year. Hey, look at that robin! There he is! He's been foraging for his mate.
He's taking her tea to her. I'd like some tea myself, but I'm not going indoors yet. I shall come back tomorrow and the day after that, Mary. Now I've seen the spring, I'm going to see the summer. I'm going to see everything grow here. I'm going to grow here myself.
That thou will. Us'll have the walking about here and maybe digging after long.
Walk and dig? Shall I?
For sure thou will. Thou's gotten legs on thee own, same as other folk.
They shake so that I'm afraid to stand on them.
When thou stops being afraid, thou'll stand on them right enough, and thou'll stop being afraid in a bit.
I shall. Who's that man?
Man?
Hey!
On the ladder looking over the wall.
Hey, if I wasn't a bachelor and that would have went to mine, I'd give thee a hiding.
Oh, but Mr. Weller!
I never thought much of thee. All us asking questions, poking the nose where it wasn't wanted. I never knowed how thou got so thick with me. If it hadn't been that robin, drat
him. Ben Weatherstaff, it was the robin showed me the way.
Thy young baden, laying the badness on a robin. Thy young nout. However in this world did I get in?
Well, it was the robin showed me the way. He didn't know he was doing it, but he did. And I can't tell you from here while you're shaking your fist at me.
Leave him to me, Mary. Do you know who I am? Well?
Who thou art? Aye, that I do. With thy mother's eyes staring at me out of thy face. Lord knows how thou come here, but that poor cripple.
I'm not a cripple. I'm not.
He's not. He's not got a lump as big as a pin. I looked, and there's not one.
Thou hasn't got a crooked back.
No.
And thou hasn't got crooked legs.
Come here, Dickon, come here. Hold me. Mary, get this rug off. Now.
He can do it. He can stand. He can stand. He can.
Look at me, you. Just look at me. He's as straight as I am. He's standing as straight as any lad in Yorkshire.
The lies folks tell. Thou art as thin as a lad and as white as a wraith, but there's not a knob on thee. I'll make a man yet. God bless thee.
I'm your master when my father is away.
Sit thee down and drunk a bit, young master, and give me the orders.
What work do you do in the gardens, Weatherstaff?
Oh, anything I'm told to do. I'm kept on thee favour because she liked me.
She?
Aye, thy mother.
My mother? Was this her garden?
Aye, it were that. She were main fond of it.
It's my garden now. I'm fond of it. I shall come here every day. But it's to be a secret, the biggest secret of all. No one is to know anything about it until I've grown so strong that I can walk and run like any other boy. So my orders are that no one is to know that we come here. Dickon and my cousin have worked to make this garden come alive. I shall send for you sometimes to help Weatherstaff, but you must come when no one else can see you.
Well, I've come here before when no one saw me.
What? When?
Oh, last time I was here was about 2 years ago.
But no one has been in it for 10 years. No one could find the door.
Oh, I'm no one, and I didn't come through no door. I come over the wall, but rheumatics has held me back this past 2 years.
They come and did a bit of pruning. I couldn't make out how it had been done.
It wouldn't have been as wick as it was if they hadn't.
Aye, of it all I come, until rheumatics stopped me, and I did a bit of work once a year.
I'm glad you did it, Weatherstaff. You'll know how to keep the secret.
Aye, I'll know, sir, and I'll tell you somewhat else. It'll be easier for a man with rheumatics to come in at door and all.
You, Master Colin, that the doctor was coming to look at you again.
He's always looking at me.
Well, I don't think any harm has been done this time, though certainly you should not have stayed out so long. You must not overexert yourself.
I'm not tired at all. It has made me well. And tomorrow, I'm going out in the morning as well as the afternoon.
I am not sure that I can allow it. I'm afraid it would not be wise.
It would not be wise to stop me. I am going.
Well, well. We will see. Nurse and I will leave you with your cousin for a few minutes. Would you come with me, Nurse?
Yes, Doctor.
What are you looking at me like that for, Mary?
I'm thinking that I'm rather sorry for that, Doctor.
So am I. He won't get Misselthwaite at all. Now that I'm not going to die.
I'm sorry for him because of that, of course.
but I was thinking that it must have been horrid to have had to be polite for 10 years to a boy who was always rude. I would never have done it.
Am I rude?
If you'd been his own boy, he would have slapped you hard.
But he didn't.
No, he didn't. Nobody ever dared to do anything you didn't like because you were such a poor thing.
But I'm not going to be a poor thing, and I won't let people think I'm one. I stood on my feet this afternoon. Mary?
Mm-hmm.
There is magic in that garden. Good magic. I'm sure there is.
So am I.
Well, even if it isn't real magic, we can pretend it is.
Thank you, nurse. Thank you. Now, I must confess, the boy is a new creature.
So is the girl. She's begun to be downright pretty since she's filled out and lost her ugly little sour look. Her hair's grown thick and healthy-looking, and she's got a bright colour. Oh, the glummest, ill-natured little thing she used to be. And now she and Master Colin laugh together like a pair of crazy young'uns. Perhaps they're growing fat on that.
Perhaps they are. Well, let them laugh. Now, the boy doesn't want his father told of his improvement, so I don't propose to tell him that his father will be home in a few weeks from now. I think that is only fair, don't you?
I think I do.
Mary! Dickon! Just look at me! Do you remember that first morning when you brought me into the garden?
Aye, that we do. And I said then before long you'd be digging.
I am getting well, aren't I?
Aye, that thou art.
I shall find out thousands and thousands of things. I shall find out about people and creatures. And everything that grows, you know, like Dickon. I feel as if I want to shout out something. Something thankful, joyful.
That might sink doxology.
What's that, Witherstaff?
Why, Dickon can sing it, Father, I warrant.
Aye, they sing it in church.
I've never been to a church. I've always been too ill. Sing it, Dickon. I want to hear it.
Thou must take off thy cap and sew on thy ben. And thou must stand up thy nose. Praise God from whom all blessings flow.
Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Sing it again. I want to sing it too. It's my song. How does it begin?
Praise God from whom all blessings
flow. Well, it's a right pleasure to see you at Misselthwaite again, sir.
Thank you, Medlock. I am pleased myself. How is Master Colin?
Well, sir, he's different in the manner of speaking.
Worse?
It's his appetite, sir. It's past understanding, and as for his ways...
Has he become more peculiar?
That's it, sir. He's growing very peculiar when you compare him with what he used to be.
How does he look?
Well, if he took his food natural, sir, you'd think he was putting on flesh. But we're afraid it may be a kind of bloat.
Where is Master Colin now?
In the garden, sir. He's always in the garden, though not a human creature is allowed to go near for fear they'll look at him.
In the garden? The garden?
Yes, sir.
Oh, thank you, Medlock. You may go.
Thank you, sir.
Father! Father! It's me!
Who in the world...
I scarcely can myself. I'm Colin, Father.
My boy?
Yes.
Colin?
Yes, it was the garden that did it, Father. Your special garden with all those roses Mother cared for so much. And Mary and Dickon and... Oh, yes, the robin. He led Mary to the secret garden in the first place. But no one else knows about me and how well I am again. We kept that a secret until you came
home. But my boy, Colin...
It really is me, Father. Aren't you glad I'm going to live forever and ever?
Colin, take me into that garden once again and tell me all about it. It has been so long, my boy.
Here they come. Then you begin, Dickon.
Praise God from whom all
blessings flow. We must sing too, Mr. Weatherstaff.
Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
You've been listening to The Secret Garden, adapted for radio by John Richmond, from the novel by Frances Hodgson Burnett. With Helen Worth as Mary Lennox and Violet Carson as Mrs. Medlock, the cast was as follows. Mrs. Lennox was played by Merle Kessler. Lieutenant Charlesworth, Mark Sheridan. Mrs. Crawford, Rosalie Williams. Mrs. Pelly, by Mara Stowe. The part of Martha was played by Susan Moverley. Ben Weatherstaff by Tom Harrison, Dickon, Richard Tolan, Mr. Archibald Craven, and the Colonel, Ronald Herdman, Colin Craven by Timothy Woolgar, the Nurse, Mary Kilduff, and the Doctor by Ronald Harvey. The sitar was played by Suraj Mia, who also portrayed the Indian servant. The Robin appeared by kind permission of Percy Edwards, and the theme music was composed by Alan Parker. The Secret Garden was produced from the New Drama Suite in Manchester by Trevor Hill.